on this episode of Still Loading.
There. You'll be my first catch of the day.
Not if I have anything to say about it, and I do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today on the show, it is more Captain N. I was about to say more Captain N, baby, but I feel like that's like my go-to like intro for these show episodes. We've done so many goddamn episodes on Captain N that I've lost my like any type of sensible intro for these cartoons because I don't even know. We're up to episode 10 now. So 23 of these now at some point.
Need to get the narrator from episode 10 to do it because he's very, very excited about Dragon's Den.
He is. He's abnormally excited about Dragon's Den. And that voice you just heard, listeners, is joining my co-host with the Mo-host and I, Dexter. Dexter, you can say hi in a second. You wait your turn. But joining both of us for this week and hopefully next week's episode, time permitting, is Jala. Jala, do you want to say your full name, Jala Prendez, or...
I don't care. It's fine. People know where I am. I'm Jala John in places on the internet.
There we go. So we have Jala Chan on the episode today. Jala, how are you doing?
I'm perky. I'm here. I definitely just less than a minute into episode 10 and I was already crying. So that was how my day started. Coffee and Captain N. So coffee. I am here.
Oh my God. That needs to be a thing now. Like every Sunday morning, coffee and Captain N. Everyone meets up on Discord, picks a new episode of Captain N. Coffee and Captain N. It's like the worst book club that no one asked for.
I bet you would have a lot of people show up for that, though.
Probably. I mean, there's not a lot of episodes to choose from, so we would end up repeating very quickly, but it would still be pretty fun. And it's funny, like this is the first time I've had you on the show, and I honestly feel like I'm wasting your talent. So for listeners, Jala has an amazing podcast called Jala Chan's Palace, right?
Place.
Gosh, dang it. I keep misreading it. But she covers really in-depth topics, both on just, you know, whether it's media or just social issues or even just like things about humanity. Like the most recent episode that you released was on two Indian films, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then the episode before that is a 2-hour and 45-minute discussion on sexuality and identity. So I have this person who is this insightful, intelligent human coming on to discuss the ups and downs of a video game cartoon that barely gave a shit about its source material.
Well, to be fair, I've also been on Duckfeed TV's The Level podcast, which is about video games, for the past decade. So, you know, I've been talking about video games and video game nonsense and, you know, periphery for the last decade. So, yeah, not unfamiliar territory.
Well, I'm excited to have you on. And another reason I had you on is because the way we first met was on a friend's Discord server. And you brought up Captain N and our mutual friend Dave. Shout out Dave from Tales from the Backlog was like actually Still Loading as an entire series dedicated to this cartoon. And almost every reaction equally is like, what? Why? Why would someone do that to themselves? That's a good question. I don't really know. But of course, so Jala, we're excited to have you on. And of course, I have to throw it over to my co-host, Dex. Dex, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Now that the Sunstone has, I've hatched and now I've grown into a full adult in mere seconds.
Mere seconds. Turn from a cute baby dragon to a semi-terrifying monster.
That's right. I was a cute baby dragon right before you just called on me. And now I'm full adult. Yes.
Thank God you're not on video right now. But all right. So we're here to talk Captain N, the Game Master, Season 2, Episode 10, Trojan Dragon, which is a pretty literal title for the episode. This episode revolves vaguely around Dragon Quest and Dragon Warrior. Like it's kind of there. So the episode begins with it's like a close-up. It shows what's happening on the world of Dragon's Den, and you see this dragon trying to hatch an egg
with
and
buck first, teeth. Buck teeth. You have to mention the buck teeth. I lost my mind and I paused it, and I'm like, oh my god.
And he has a stethoscope on his ears, just trying to listen to the heartbeat inside the egg. I guess that would work. I completely he has no teeth in his mouth except for like four teeth up at the front. It's not even like he has buck teeth. He has just four teeth total.
I'm pretty sure we had Stefan Rees on the last time we had a Dragon Quest episode.
You're right. We did.
This character design showed up at the end. Like, I don't think it was in the entire episode. And then Stefan was like, what is that?
Well, it's four flat teeth, to be clear. It is like horse teeth. It is not dragon teeth.
He's clearly a plant eater. You know, he's an herbivore dragon because his teeth aren't meant for biting meat. So.
He's also surprisingly the smartest dragon, I think, in this show, because he's done more damage to the end team than Mother Brain ever has.
That's so true. It's true. It's so true. He was able to thwart Mega Man. He attacked the Palace of Power successfully with only two dragons. Oh, three total if you count him. I didn't even put that together. So real quick, before we continue on, I totally forgot. What we usually do is we ask each of our guests, what stuck out to you about, like, you know, there's a whole bunch of random shit that happens in this episode. Now, we always try to pick, like, when you, since the show's kind of nebulous anyway, what's like something that really stuck out to you that, like, after you finished, that's the one thing that stayed in your mind? And Jala, since you're a guest, what was that for you? What really was it, the buck teeth, or was it something else that stuck out to you?
It was the fact that when they built their wooden Trojan dragon, they all kept on coming out of his crotch. And so, like, at the point where Simon is revealed to the big bad and all of that, like, the wooden dragon is birthing Simon from its crotch, and that's never going to leave my mind.
And I like the dragon's reaction to that is not like of shock. It's just kind of like, oh, interesting. Like, it's so matter of fact. The evil main dragon lord or whatever didn't give two shits about it.
It was almost like, oh, this again. Like,
not again.
Says something like, oh, excellent camouflage. Get them. Get them.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's exactly it. He said, that's excellent camouflage. I'm like, is he actually proud of them? Like, is it like, I couldn't tell. And then he's like, get them. Oh, so he's angry. Okay, I understand now. Dexter, what about you? What stuck out to you in this episode?
Oh, man, I think I'm a victim of Stockholm syndrome with this episode, because a little bit behind the curtain here, this is our second time trying to record this episode. And so I've watched it. This is probably the episode I've watched the most.
Oh, you poor soul.
And I've gradually, I think on the eighth viewing, I'm like, maybe I like this one.
I actually enjoyed it a little bit more this time as well. My observation is that listeners, in this episode, the end team has to create a fake looking dragon. They have to create their own dragon that they basically, it's like a mechanical dragon that they can manually operate inside, almost like a Power Rangers Megazord type of vibe. And they use that in order to sneak into Dragon's Den, and they can, you know, be part of the dragon army and all that other stuff. The dragon they make, though, looks like a fucking dork. He's got these giant goggles, and he looks like the stereotypical nerd that you would see in like an 80s comedy, you know, full on goggles, having to eat grapefruit with a spoon.
And then the big bad, like, how they actually managed to sneak back past the guard who is looking on his list and going, I don't see your name here, leave. And then, like, the big bad sees him and says, Grandpa, come over here and show these whippersnappers your battle scars. And, like,
I actually, part of me kind of liked that, because it made it basically was like, well, it's a shitty looking dragon, so what if the other dragons just think he's been scarred by battle, you know?
I was wondering if they're referring to, like, the stitches, the way he's like sewn together, if that, yeah. Like, yeah. So creaky when he flies.
I really want to know the mechanical engineering background of Mega Man on this, because he's operating, like, he's entirely propelling that entire dragon. Like, Simon's steering it with a bizarre array of levers, but Mega Man is running the entire thing with a single bike with a rope attached to the back of the wheel, to the back wheel. And that's all that this entire dragon needs in order to fly is a bike and a rope. I love it. All right. So if we're moving along with the story, we kind of jumped around a little bit, but now we're going to go through the episode beat by beat. We got, like we said, Wimpy Bucktooth Dragon is watching the egg and trying to make it hatch. And what I love about it is they use the same audio clip twice in a row. The exact, like, it's not like a second, it's not like the actor is reading the same line again. It's just the exact same recording played a second time where he goes, "Come on, egg, please hatch." Mm-hmm. Come on. The Dragon Lord comes up wondering why he has not hatched it yet. And I love how he crawls back up to the egg, because he, like, his back is facing a cliff wall and he just kind of Spider-Man's up it backwards.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that the big bad dragon has Mr. T-Chain.
Yes, the Dragon
if
Lord.
If only
himself.
He said, "I pity the fool," or in some way.
Oh, right.
You know,
the Dragon Lord has drip. Yeah.
Dragon Lord has drip. That sounds like a band name.
The Dragon Lord's drip.
The Dragon Lord has drip. Yes. That was my high school band's name. That's what that's a joke I'm going to use there. So we cut over to the Palace of Power, where Simon and Kevin are. Sorry, Jala. For those who don't know, I haven't shouted this out in a while. The reason I yell Kevin randomly is the Home Alone reference, because the first episode we did, it reminded me of it. And so I do it once, at least once, every episode, where I have to yell Kevin after talking.
I have heard it when I was doing my live listen and commentary in your Discord.
it's become a staple that no fan cares about, but I do it for myself.
Do it for you.
That's,
I love
exactly
that for you.
What it is. I'm just expecting, oh, I love that for you. N-Team is having a competition where Kevin and Simon are trying to see who's more athletic, more superpowery. I don't really know, but Game Boy is creating monsters that shoot out of his face that they can use for practice. You know, Kevin with his zapper, Simon with his whip. I do think it's weird, if Game Boy has this ability to just manifest creatures, why don't they use that to defeat Mother Brain?
Because it takes too much power. The whole episode revolves around power, and, like, at a later point, Kevin talks about, oh, the power on my power pad, and Game Boy's worried about his power. Like, that's the whole thing about this whole episode.
They're powered by plot.
Yes, plot power.
Exactly what plot power. That's exactly what it is. So while they're doing this, the evil the Bucktooth Dragon and his two minions, who have surprisingly a large amount of firepower, like, quite literally, can breathe fire really well, better than any of the other big dragons that you see later on in the episode. They burn a hole in, I guess, an electrical line, an electrical pipe that causes the entire place to go down and causes a power surge, which is how Game Boy, it makes absolutely no sense, but Game Boy can get supercharged by this. He's able to store so much energy in his energy cells that he can power the entire Palace of Powers, that's a tongue twister, a security system for 12 hours. And while all this is happening, those same dragons steal the Sunstone, which is, this is the first time this has been introduced in the entire show. You never hear about the Sunstone. You've never heard about it once. You don't understand how the Palace of Power actually gets its power. All you know is that it just has electricity. But for some reason, they decide to add a plot device that there's a power, like a Sunstone or whatever, inside the Palace of Power.
Yeah, the 12 hours felt so arbitrary. Yeah, go ahead, Jala.
I have a couple of comments about that. So first off, the Sunstone is essentially a nuclear reactor. And then second is that I love the fact that Game Boy is just plugged into the wall outlet the whole time. And that's how he's actually powering the Palace of Power somehow through the wall outlet, because that's an input. Sure. That's not how electricity works.
The sad thing is I didn't even think about that. I was just like, oh, that makes sense. But I'm just so used to like shitty cartoon logic where it's like, well, if it's plugged in, it's logical to me. That's all that matters. Now, I am noticing, though, that the plugs are sideways. So maybe it's a different kind of power outlet. I don't know.
I think you're delving far too much into that.
I mean, that's the name of the game. I mean, I still, like Dexter, I don't think, we haven't seen the return of the snake toilets from a previous episode.
So the Sunstone has been captured.
Yes. Yeah, so the Sunstone has been captured. They put it next to the egg and it starts making the egg pulse rapidly. Kind of looks like something out of Alien, which I kind of enjoyed.
To me, it just looks like a butthole. It just looks like a sphincter. That's all it is. It's pulsing, especially when the heroes come across it and they're looking down at it. And it's just like,
I'm glad you say that, because there's a butthole in every episode. And I was wondering where it was in this one.
I forgot that's been a trope that we've had. There's been a butthole in every episode. And that, and like Captain N somehow always predicts some type of future movie trope, especially in like Marvel or something like that. Like the N team was the predecessor to the MCU type of thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Some stupid thing that, oh, if only it was true. They trying to figure out where the Sunstone has gone. They go to Dragon's Den. They're able to follow the dragons back to Dragon's Den, which this whole episode's supposed to have like some element of Dragon Quest. And the most it does is that there's a shop that they go to midway through the episode. But for the most part, there's really no other ties to Dragon's Den or Dragon Quest in it. Am I right?
There are slimes, but they are not cute Dragon Quest slimes. They are ugly little critters.
They look like boogers.
Yes.
Yeah, I made a note that I was like, these might be the worst designs, I think, on the show, or those slimes. Because we've had some pretty weird, like, Metroid bosses that were really weird design. But I think these slimes have to be the worst, like, as far as going off of the original source material. Because it's not like the graphics were that rudimentary in the first Dragon Warrior. But these ones are horrifying.
Like I was telling Jala beforehand, the accuracy to the source material is questionable at best. And that really, I mean, the whole, I kind of love that it's so far off from it. It just makes the show that much more interesting, but it really has like very little to do with the game. I will say though, every time they defeat an enemy, including those ugly slimes, they do drop money, which is very Dragon Quest like or Dragon Warrior. So that's a little bit of a subtle nod to it.
That's true. But they use all Marble Madness music. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not.
Do they?
Yes. Which, don't get me wrong, it's a sick soundtrack, but I was like, hey, Marble Madness.
I think there's supposed to be an episode that revolves around Marble Madness.
That's
later
the next
on.
One.
The next one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the next one? I thought it was just Paperboy, but that's okay. So that's the next one. And so it has both Marble Madness and Paperboy in the invasion of the paper. Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry. The Wish I Was a Wombat Man. Yes. I'm jumping ahead to this next recording session, not the next episode. They see the dragons flying in and they're like, all right, we're gonna find a way to sneak in. We gotta figure out how we can Trojan horse ourselves into the dragon's nest, into the dragon's den. And conveniently, unbeknownst to me in any Zelda lore, that there is an entire forest in Hyrule that where its bark sheds like skin and it looks like a dragon.
Yeah,
and all the trees are in the shape of a dragon.
It's dragonwood trees. There's the dragonwood forest. We're just going to go see Link and Zelda. Okay.
I just assumed it would be by name. And then when they were in the forest and the trees were actually shaped like dragons, I was like, oh, okay.
Really? You didn't fully expect them to actually look like dragons and actually look like scales on? Really?
I guess it was more unexpected that how they ripped the tree bark off them.
Well, what's weird is like some of the trees don't even look like you could rip the tree bark off of it. It just looks like almost like a bizarre scarecrow. And then you see Mega Man walk up to it and just rip the scales right off the tree. And then there's still bark on the tree after he leaves. Like, there's no difference. I don't understand. Like, what are you actually ripping off? Does it grow a second layer on top of the bark? I guess I really shouldn't look that far into this show.
What I love is the fact that they have 12 hours and they have to go, oh, let's go skip over to another world and stop to build a big wooden dragon. That makes a lot of sense.
And they're engineering masters, Jala. They built an entire dragon in under 12 hours, fully functional with fire breathing that's run, which seems a little dangerous considering it's all made out of wood. And they have a whole, like, a metal furnace inside that Kid Icarus is, like, using one of those blow, like, what are, I don't know what they're called, those bellows. Like little, yeah. What it, bellows?
Yeah.
Yeah, a bellows to, like, blow air into the furnace to get it really hot.
What's great is that they even say in the episode, oh, it'll only take about 3 hours. Yeah. There's an afternoon project for you and your child.
Only about three. Oh, my God. This is actually the fourth episode in a row where they have looped Link and Zelda into the story somehow, even if it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to this
one. You know where their money's coming from.
It's true. It's true.
It was funny that Link and Zelda were like, okay, bye, after they finished. Like, they're not going to try to help or anything.
No, they're just like, well, that's all we're here for. We're just here for a little bit of plot device. And I totally forgot to shout out, the writer of this episode is Matt Uwitz. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name. We've been shouting out the writers of everything in season two because season one was entirely written by Jeffrey Scott. Shout out, Jeffrey Scott. We love you. Please come on the show.
Please come on the show, Jeffrey.
Please come on the show, Jeffrey. We love you. So Matt Uwitz, I think this is actually, might be, I'm going to double check. Okay, so he's written a handful of other episodes. He wrote Once Upon a Time Machine along with Michael Maurer just a little bit earlier in the season. And then he wrote two of the shorts in season three. So this is actually his first solo writing credit, which honestly, Matt, I hope you don't listen to this. It's one of the weaker episodes, just being a little honest.
I know, especially since Once Upon a Time Machine was so good.
Well,
was it a good one? Oh, yeah, I guess it was.
Honestly, I think I actually liked this episode better than I liked the next episode, the Wombat Man one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think... dollars to donuts about how bug nuts it is versus the other one. They're both pretty wild, but this one, I think I would like it because it's so out there. It just goes so far out into space somewhere that I'm just like, all right, this is where we're at. I'm here for it.
I think I've grown to like this episode a little bit more. The first time Dexter and I watched it for our last recording session, it was just... we both kind of like having a ball was so insane. The episode before that, last month's episode, was just so insane. And then we watched the Trojan Dragon. We're like, this is a lot more subdued compared to what having a ball was. Like, that was, that episode is just insane. Dennis O'Flaherty, man, what a wild, he's actually done a lot of insane. He also did the Lost City of Congoland, which was another insane episode. But okay, moving along, they build the dragon, and while it is kind of like a montage-ish moment of them building the dragon, it's not quite a full-on montage. Simon does get trapped by a spider, and I believe, Jala, you sent me a note on this scene, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so Simon's wandering off into the woods. I don't know what he's doing, but either way, like doing the Simon thing of just being a complete bumbling idiot. And so he's like, oh, I'm not afraid of the moblins in this wood because fear isn't in my vocabulary. And then he gets stabbed in the butt by like a moblin spear, sees the moblin, screams like a little girl, and then runs into a spider's web and gets caught and goes, terror is, and then runs off. And then like Link and Zelda come to save the day, and Link is fighting with the moblin and covers up his head with something. And then Zelda uses her bow and arrow and shoots the spider that's coming to eat Simon. And then the moblin with the thing on his head just kind of stumbles back into a tree and dies. I'm just like, what is happening?
That was the second time this episode that a bad guy ran into something and died. because the bad guys that were chasing after Simon at the beginning that Game Boy created, they also ran into the door and just disappeared.
Yeah, I forgot
like
about
any
that.
Impact and they're gone. You better not shake their hand or anything. Don't touch them. They will just existence. Die.
Yeah. I also wanted to point out during the building of the dragon montage, did you notice the spoof that the song was supposed to be?
I almost choked on my breakfast watching it, and when that song came up, I'm like, what in the world is this?
I'm trying to remember the actual name of the song, like Working in a Coal Mine.
It's trying to spin off of that, but it's so bad.
Working on a train that's running behind, and then they throw some words in about dragons or something, but
yeah, it's just
like,
bad.
Are we really doing this? Yeah. And then the last thing about that montage was that the sewing machine arrow came back. I don't know if you noticed that, Josh.
Oh yeah, because he was stitching up the dragon scales to the
arrow. Frame. He has multiple sewing machine arrows. Kid Icarus does. It's important to know.
I just noticed now too. So while they're, you know, prepping everything on the dragon during the montage, Simon is painting on. He gets like a full on like painter's smock with one of the I forget what the thing that you hold in your hands. It's not an easel because that's what you paint on. I forget what it's called. Is it a palette? Okay, yeah. He has a full painter smock and palette, and he's like, you know, in a beret or whatever, and he's painting a mustache onto the dragon right while they're testing the flamethrower, and which is powered by coal, famously has a lot of flames. And when it cuts back to him getting burnt because the flame comes out of its mouth, the mustache that he painted on is gone. They paint it on, they don't even keep the continuity of it still being on the dragon's like face. It just disappears entirely from his face.
Well, to be fair, if it's oil paint, it's flammable, so.
But it was gone before the flame came out. That's the thing.
That's even better.
And I like how Simon is constantly the butt of the joke in this episode. He gets captured by a spider, you know, poked in the butt by a moblin, lit on fire by the fire breathing. And then Kid Icarus accidentally knocks a lever, which causes the dragon's tail to whip him into like a tree or something, which for some reason that doesn't kill Simon, unlike it kills everyone else. And he really is the whipping boy in this episode.
Har har. Bad pun.
The worst part is I didn't even realize I made a pun. I'm dead serious.
I know.
And now
that's why
I'm even more
to...
upset that I should have like laid into it more. Damn it.
It was this episode that I noticed that I think they just have like a stock Simon screaming sound effect. Like,
yeah.
whether it works or not, like, does he scream here? Just use this. Like, don't you think that's a little extreme? No, use it. Like, he gets bumped.
It's like the Wilhelm scream. It just gets used all the time.
Yes.
I'm going to start incorporating that into every single episode somehow. Just the Simon scream, just in some way, shape, or form. It'll be an Easter egg that people look out for.
Yes.
That would be obnoxious. I'm not going to do that. So while half of the end team is making the dragon in 3 hours somehow, that still blows my mind. It's pretty much Simon, Kid Icarus, Mega Man, and then Link and Zelda are all making this dragon. Meanwhile, Kevin and Lana are over in Dragon's End trying to see if they can find a way in or find something that they can use over on that half. And so what they do, they're going around into different shops. And I love the first thing that you see when it cuts to the shop, because you see another wide shot of the planet of Dragon's Den or the world of Dragon's Den, and walking out of a store like it's just something that you do is a dude in full armor carrying a shield in one hand and then like scrolls in the other. But he's not holding the shield up like you normally would, you know, like around your forearm. He's holding it like it's a bag of groceries in his arm. And I just love that. Like, did he buy it there? Did he carry it in? Now he just needs a free hand. I don't know. But the whole thing just seems uncomfortable.
The guy bought
and
everything because hey, when they well, inside, sometimes there's nothing on the shelves.
Sometimes, if you are a knight and you don't have a squire, you gotta go run your own dang errands.
That poor knight, I didn't even think about it. He probably doesn't even have a squire. I wonder if there is a whole, like, I mean, never mind. I'm not going to delve into that any further. Why waste time thinking about the knight and squire system of a fictional world? So they go into the store, Kevin and Lana, and they are they're thinking about buying this like magic fairy potion or fairy juice. I forget exactly how he describes it. And they say they don't have a lot of money. But the guy's like, well, I'll give you a discount because you're heroes. I'm like, does he just do this for everybody? Like, you have to do is say you're a hero?
He name drops Josh. He's like, I'm saving it for the look at camera dragon warrior. Everybody yep. cheers. Yay! Yep.
But do you think that anyone can just come up and say, hey, I'm the dragon warrior? Because I bet you that knight that was walking out of the store did the exact same fucking thing. Like, I'm the dragon warrior. Give me a discount.
I think well, that's the shop why owner just wanted to go home because there's nothing left. So he's like, I'm just going to sell it to this guy, this chump.
Yeah, right.
They follow the map to this like cave that has the entrance to the cave is in the shape of an axe for some reason. And they go fight this giant. It looks almost like an iron knuckle. I know it's not, but it kind of reminds me of that from Zelda. This giant knight with a giant axe, and they're trying to get, I forget what the sword is. It's a flame sword.
Yes, a flame sword because the shopkeeper was like, in the place with the battle axe or whatever. You know, that's why it's shaped like an axe. They've got the flame sword. You've got to go get it, hero, or whatever.
So. Does he even use the fucking flame sword? I know no, he uses the shield.
It doesn't ever come into play, I don't think. I don't remember ever seeing it again after that. But they sure do have to go up against a knight that happens to have zap proof armor, so that way Kevin can't use his zapper.
And he pauses him, and Jala, this is another note you sent me.
Yeah, he pauses him with the A button. It's not even the right button on the controller.
That's why it didn't work, Kevin. Come on, bud.
I the first time I watched it, I didn't notice that. And I was like, well, maybe, you know, it's just a little bit more animation because its hand is covering up the start button because it's with his right hand. So his right hand covers up the start button and his finger is over the A button. I'm like, well, maybe they kind of like imply, you know, that he does hit the start button. You just can't quite see it. But no, the A button clearly flashes after he hits it. There's a little red flash on it. And I went up. Well, that's inconvenient. Like, what's wild to me about this show is that there are moments where they get the things where they get the most right are in the music. I'm not saying the music choices like this. They chose Marble Madness for a Dragon Quest episode or Dragon Warrior episode. But like, how often, Dex, would we watch and they'd be in Metroid and you would hear the actual Metroid music and it fit the scene and it worked pretty well. And it would be other moments like that, too, where they would choose songs from the actual game and it would work pretty well. And it was a pretty good rendition of that song. But everything other than the music, nothing else really seems to care.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's been a little bit off with that this time around, which I just listened to a thing recently. I'm trying to remember where I heard it now. I apologize, listeners, but something about Deke during this era, they had an association with MTV, and that is why they used a lot of licensed music licensed originally. Music.
Oh.
That Captain N wasn't the only show that did it. There were other Deke cartoons that used licensed music, including the Mario Super Show. That's what it was. It was Toy Galaxy. Dan from Toy Galaxy, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him on YouTube. Mm-hmm. He recently did one on the Mario Brothers Super Show and talked about that Deke had an association with MTV. So I was like, I need to bring that to the table next time we talk about Captain N. That makes a lot of sense.
That does make a lot of sense because season one, I believe, was produced by Deke, and then season one was produced by Saban Productions. Okay, no, sorry. Season 2 and 3 was produced by Deke. So that is strange, but that's strange. If it was still produced by Deke, why'd they get rid of the licensed music for season 2?
About their association wasn't the same relationship because I think there were other shows that stopped using the licensed music as well. There was a time frame, there was a timeline where it ended and they stopped doing it. But that would explain, I'm guessing it probably ended between seasons one and two.
That would make sense because there was a lot of, I mean, we couldn't hear the licensed music because it was on YouTube and they've removed it even from the DVD releases. So like you can't even hear the licensed music with the show, but there's a lot of song parodies in season two where like, what was it? Wasn't it just last episode and Having a Ball where they parody freaking Back to the Future and they kind of do like their own weird off version of Johnny Be Good.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this one being a ripoff of Working in a Coal Mine.
Mm-hmm. I've never even heard that song before.
I'll send it to you after the show. You'll recognize it.
Yeah. Will I? Okay.
Yeah.
So they continue on. They after the end team or Kevin and Lana get the fire sword and the shield. Then the other half of the end team have completed the dragon and they warp over to Dragon's Den. And Simon's having a panic attack trying to figure out how to control the dragon, which to be in his defense, I would too. There's a shitload of levers and it's not like anyone really know. It's not like anyone trained him how to fly a dragon. If anything, it should be Mega Man or like Kid Icarus is the one who flies it, considering they're the ones that built that portion of it. It seems like, you know, like, I don't know why they always have, like, how does Kevin know how to fly this thing? It's the first time he's seen it.
And he says it so confidently, like, I'll do it. I know what I'm doing.
Well, he's got main hero energy. He can do the thing.
That's true. That's true.
M-H-E?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to say that about Kid Icarus, too. Like, when they are sneaking in, they let Kid Icarus be the voice of the dragon. I was like, all right, how did they let that happen? He doesn't sound like a dragon at all. Like, why are they letting him voice this dragon?
I mean, technically, the Bucktooth guy doesn't really sound like a dragon either.
Well, okay, I mean, of all of them, the one who should have been the old grizzled grandpa would have been Mega Man again. Just put Mega Man in there. Don't even let anybody else in there. He doesn't need his hands to pedal the bike.
No, he doesn't.
He could use the levers and have the mic in front of him and do it all himself.
Mega Man is like, you know how like in comic book adaptations where like Superman's so hard to adapt to movies because like he's just too powerful, how do you make, you know, all that, or he's hard to write for. I feel like Mega Man is a similar issue. He's just too powerful and they completely under, like, he has superhuman strength. He can, apparently has a jetpack so he can fly. He can deflect pretty much almost any type of power because he's just made out of metal, but they never utilize that throughout the show. His power constantly weakens or goes super like through the roof depending on what's needed for the story, and there's no consistent level of actual power for him, which I find kind of amusing.
Well, and then in this episode all he's doing is just being the energy source for the dragon. That's like the only thing he does. And in the next episode all he does is catch everybody when they fall, and that's all he does.
It's funny. So I completely forgot, Dexter, you made a good point. So, Jala, at the end of season one, the very last episode of season one, Mega Man becomes human. His birthday wish is to become, he doesn't want to be a robot anymore. He wants to become human. And it's a big plot line. Like, it's a big moment at the very end where he becomes a human. And then it's never addressed the rest of the show. He clearly is the same robot as before, but they just don't address him as a robot anymore. It's so bizarre. So they do sneak into the Dragon's Den lair, and you mentioned it before, Jala, how like they give their name and they're like, not on the list, get out of here. But the dragon lord was like, hey, old timer, show him how it's done. And it's still just bizarre. And I don't know why the microphone is in the middle of nowhere on that in the dragon monster machine. I can't speak today. I'm sorry. It's been a morning.
And why is Simon wearing the bucket on his head if he's claustrophobic inside the dragon? Wouldn't that make it worse?
I didn't even put two and two together. You're right. That would have made it significantly worse. Let's go from a small space to an even smaller space.
Well, sometimes people have a security blankie. His is a security bucket.
I kind of would love to see Simon with just like later on in the show have a have that bucket come back. I need my bucket. So the Dragon Lord puts a bunch of tests to the end team inside their dragon suit. I do find it a little amusing. Every now and then you see this where there's a still of Kid Icarus. I'm looking right now at 14 minutes and 5 seconds where his head just looks abnormally large compared to the rest of his body.
What's hilarious is I stopped it at that same point and I'm just like, look. I was showing my husband. I'm like, Dave, look at this guy's head. Look at the head. It's so huge. What in the world?
His ears travel from his lips up past his eyebrows, which I guess that's actually anatomically kind of close. No, our earlobe, my earlobe is right at my upper lip, and I guess the top half of my ear is around my eyebrow. But his head is so big, his ears just look bizarre. Yeah, I would actually say his earlobe goes under his jaw almost. Yeah.
Well, during that whole point where they are testing testing the dragon concoction or whatever. I have to hand it to Simon that like he was maneuvering. They were like shooting fireballs at him and he had to dodge everything. And he was doing that. But that's what made him just finally crack. He was just like, I can't anymore. And, you know, that actually is kind of a solid feel that you would have if you are playing some kind of shooter game, you know, like a bullet hell kind of thing, and you're trying to dodge everything. That's a legitimate feeling that you get playing a video game where you're just like, nope, not gonna do it, unless you're one of those very particular individuals who are really into bullet hells and just zen out. But that's not me.
That's not me either. I can't do bullet hells. It makes me panic so hard.
You should try it with a bucket on your head next.
My security bucket. So the part of the end team, before Simon does go off and fly on his own, Kevin and Lana sneak out through the dragon's crotch and
nobody notices. It drives me
nobody
nuts.
Nobody notices. Nobody notices. I love it. Nobody notices. And there's a moment though. Hold on. I'm trying to remember exactly where it was at. I saw it earlier. Of course, there's an ad now on my YouTube video, so I can't even like scrub through the episode properly. But there was a really goofy visual that I saw, and it made me chuckle. And I can't remember where it's at. I'll find it. I will find it. There's a moment where like all the dragons are coming over to see, other dragons come over here. And admire what this old timer can do. And there's one dude who has like a jawline that looks like Humphrey Bogart or it's like some type of old timey Hollywood actor. Maybe not Humphrey Bogart. Hold on. Let me find the exact timestamp, but it just made me laugh so hard.
Is it the yellow one?
It's a yellow one and it's at 14 minutes and 44 seconds. And the dude's got a jaw that could cut glass.
Oh yeah.
And you're talking about flat teeth before Jala. He's got his entire row of mouth is just horse teeth. It's definitely not a Humphrey Bogart. He definitely does not look like Humphrey Bogart, but it just for some reason that like really like pronounced jaw along with the way the teeth shape, which don't match the shape of his jaw at all. Like his teeth are on a completely different angle than the rest of his jawline.
I'm going to say Jay Leno. He's got a Jay Leno.
Can see that. Yeah. That I wonder if that was he big in 1990? Did he even have a show yet?
I don't think so.
He might have been in a couple movies.
Yeah, he might have been doing like stand-up comedy and maybe had a couple of like silly movies or something. But
Kevin and Lana are going to go find the dragon, the Sunstone and where the dragon is. But first they have to make it through this chomping dragon mouth, which... it's just so, and because the whole thing, they're standing there and it's chomping really fast. They're like, all right, we got to time it perfectly. And when they finally do it, time it, it slows down for them.
Yeah, it just stays open until they jump through.
And they make it through. They slide down a tunnel or down a slide in a tunnel. And Kevin, I didn't know his power pad could do this. It makes them float. But only enough, he runs out of energy, unfortunately, so he can't make it across this lake of lava that they find themselves in front of. But they he just hits up on the power pad and they start floating. I'm like, this is a new power. This would have been really handy in a lot of different areas in previous episodes that you probably could have used. But it's almost like it's not the same writer writing for the entire.
And then he just calmly is like, I'll use my shield to land in the lava.
Which also, they would be dead. I'm not like, let's say the shield has magic powers, right? And it's like they don't feel the heat from the lava on their feet or any of that. But they're falling from easily, what, 10, 15 feet? If they put the shield under their feet, it's going to go under the lava for at least a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Unless I would assume lava, since it is molten rock, would have a different like buoyancy thing. Like maybe it won't behave the same way as water, but I still can't imagine. I feel like their feet would be gone.
And that they slide on it too. Like they should be dropping straight down. There should be no momentum.
No momentum going forward.
And then they're like jet skiing on it afterwards.
So after that happens, they do end up, they slide down, they get across the lava lake. At this point, though, Simon lets the cat out. Oh, no, sorry. Hasn't quite let the cat out of the bag yet. They're doing a flying test now, and he somehow is just panic flying through all of these boulders getting shot up at him. They are able to safely land on top of a tree, and that's when Simon finally tumbles out of his bullet hell and just through the dragon's crotch once again, and just full on borderline having a panic attack. Mm-hmm. And the dragon lord doesn't really even acknowledge it.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, that's some pretty good camouflage. Get them.
And I love, there's a good still right after that of what you were talking about before, the necklace around the Dragon Lord's neck, the Mr. T necklace, with just, there's just a lock on it, just a padlock, never addressed. I think Dexter, wasn't the padlock, I can't speak, around his neck addressed in the previous episode with him?
I don't remember.
In
that.
Season one, if I remember correctly.
You know, it's very possible, but
I don't remember. Well, the good news is that there's soon going to be a different Mr. T that actually has like a gold necklace.
That's true. Yes. That's true. And they capture Simon and they give him this cursed necklace. And I loved the dialogue for it. I'm going to see if I can put, closed caption is machine generated, so it's kind of hit or miss with everything. But I love that the line that he says to describe the necklace is like, it's a necklace filled with evil or something like that.
Yeah. And not only that, but like the little case that they have it in looks like Sailor Moon's locket, like the Sailor Moon star locket. And then they pull the thing out and I'm just like losing my mind looking at it. Like,
the little dragon on it also has the horse teeth too. I don't know if you just noticed that on the necklace.
Wait, what?
The little dragon head.
I'm going to have to watch this again now. Yeah. I'm going back. I'm scrolling through it. I need to see it. Oh, on the necklace itself has the horse teeth.
When they zoom in on it, when it's on Simon's neck, you could see like the horse teeth on the front of it.
It very much looked like they were trying to go with like a goat's head, like to make it look semi satanic, but then it's just this sad looking dragon with teeth.
Right around the 17-minute mark. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And then a chase ensues. Kevin and Lana are going back to try to rescue Simon, or because they see Simon and Kid Icarus and Mega Man are now placed in a spider's web, which you don't really know where that comes from, but it's there. And the dragon finally hatches. And it's really, how would you guys describe what the baby dragon looks like? I'm very confused by its look. It almost has like arrows for eyebrows.
Yeah.
And they try to give it like joke.
They try to give it like doe eyes or something. It's very weird.
It's got doe eyes, gives it a little bit of a belly like a baby would. It has an arrow for a tail. Its eyebrows are made of flesh, like dragon flesh. I don't know.
It definitely remember the annoying remember like Three Men and a Dragon, that episode?
Yeah.
And there was the baby, the like little white baby dragon, but yeah, the flesh eyebrows.
I don't know how else to describe it, because they're not, it's not a different color than the rest of its skin. It's just these two lumps just sitting on top of its eyes.
It's got a very pronounced brow, okay? Just like the brow ridge.
It's kind of like Gizmo versus the rest of the gremlins, like before they get converted into their scary gremlin. Like, this is the Mogwai version.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear a cinema sin of mine? I've never seen Gremlins.
Huh. Well, yeah, I know. It's a very strange movie. Yes. Like, I rewatched it a couple of years ago, and it's wild. And the rating for what that movie is doing is also wild, but that's
different. Was it rated PG?
Yeah. And yeah, I'm just like, no. they put that gremlin in a blender and turned it on. Like, come on.
The sequel is so wild, too.
Oh, the sequel's like, so much better. But anyway.
Yeah. No, a lot of people I've heard like the sequel. So, yes, they are able to rescue the rest of the end team, but not really on purpose. The dragon, the baby dragon that hatches out of the egg butthole, gets the sunstone and grows astronomically fast, and its head tears through the spider web. So they just kind of get rescued just by happenstance almost, and they all get into their flying dragon again because they're trying to take out this big evil golden dragon
who's had the best manicure, might I say. I mean, those fancy pink nails.
I didn't even notice. I never look at that shit. I really should. And I mean, I say that semi-earnestly because, like, I watch this show way too much. I need to start finding the small little details of stuff like that, because that's the type of thing that amuses me. Hence, the like we mentioned before, the snake toilet from the other episode. Like, shit that you just really shouldn't pay attention to. But you're right. Holy shit, those nails are actually nice.
They're very manicured. They're very, very pink.
He had a lot of time to sharpen his claws in that egg butthole. Or he or she, it. So they're flying around the big Trojan dragon. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time naming it. It's the title of the fucking episode. It's the Trojan dragon. I just have to call it the Trojan dragon. That's why I keep stumbling. I'm like, what do I call this thing? The wooden dragon? Oh, whatever. It's a Trojan. Trojan dragon. And they figure out that the dragon, the gold dragon is chasing them because Simon has that cursed necklace on. And they figure, well, let's try that fairy water we got from the store before, and it works. It gets the necklace off, and they're like, all right, well, let's go place this on the dragon lord.
But here, wait, question.
Go for it.
How in the hell does Simon ingesting this through his mouth have anything to do with the necklace itself? Makes the necklace fall off. They didn't put it on the necklace. They just gave it to Simon, and Simon took a sip.
Really?
Yes.
I could have sworn I saw them hold the
pour it on the necklace, don't they?
I saw them pour it on.
I thought he drank it. It looked to me like he drank it. But
no, no. So they do pour it onto the necklace, but in the vision, you're not crazy, Jala, because in the visuals of it, like when you see where they actually stop it, Lana holds it up to his mouth, but you can like she's drinking it, and I almost wonder if this was an animation error, because they animate it as this going up to Simon's mouth, but there's a trickle of like blue liquid that goes down from where his mouth is onto the necklace directly. Instead of it is strange. She holds it up to his mouth.
Okay.
But the blue liquid goes down to the necklace.
Yeah. I wonder if that was.
And Lana doesn't even really tilt her hand far enough for it to go onto it. She just kind of jabs it into Simon's face, and then it happens to trickle down off of that.
Yeah, she holds it perfectly over his mouth before it trickles out. Yeah, that's weird. But they had a line that was like, only pure good can remove the necklace. So I'm wondering if they were going to have him drink it and it would make him good, but then they realized then Simon wouldn't be a funny character anymore if he was good. I have no idea.
I
I don't think maybe? They thought that hard about it, to be quite honest.
Probably not. I want to get at least one writer from this show on the podcast, not to make fun of them. I get it. You know, like this show is who knows? I'd be curious what the writing conditions that were thrust upon them were for this show. I'm very curious about that because it's stuff like even like this where it's like, did they think all that through or was it just kind of like, was it an animation era where they afterwards the showrunners were like, oh shit, we got to put it's in Simon's mouth, not on the necklace. Crap. We got to figure out something here and then just added blue to it. I don't know. I'm not going to try to figure it out any further.
Well, I would imagine that the writing would have to happen first and then all of the animation would have to be storyboarded off of that and then made. So like to me that reads as like the two different departments, the writing department and the animation department didn't have speaks and they were just going off of whatever they thought the storyboard looked like, and I can't tell you, you know, like what those storyboards might have looked like for them to get that all hashed out. So
Dax, do you remember when we had Gabe on the show, did he mention that wasn't there a type of animation that he worked on where the writing happened after the animation?
Oh, that's wild.
There's I know that, well, it's I not entirely. So the way
that the writing is done,
they plan out the gags beforehand.
Yeah, there's some shows where they're storyboard written, where like the artists will storyboard the story, where there's not really a script. That they kind of just storyboarded out. There are some shows that are like that.
All shows.
The thing about it, though, is that it's not addressed in the writing where they're putting that water, the fairy nectar or whatever it is. I mean, like, that's all the animation team's thing.
Yeah, I that's why I was wondering, was it something where, like, it was like that other style where they storyboard out like moments they want in the show and then they have a writer be like, all right, here's the beats you have to hit, figure out a way to connect them or something, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I have a feeling this is just written first though, this type of show.
I think so too.
Yeah,
so they pour the fairy nectar on the necklace and it gets off of Simon's neck. Simon dangles, even though he's afraid of being inside a dragon, he has no fear of dangling precariously with a rope tied around his feet from a flying dragon, you know, a couple hundred feet in the air. And that would terrify me. He drops the necklace onto the dragon lord. And for some reason, they drop out the fairy water on him, too. They don't really explain why.
For continuity, so they can have him show up later, of course.
There we go. That's got to be it. And so he puts the fairy water on the necklace, throws it back at the dragon. And I actually kind of enjoy his reaction when he throws the necklace back at the golden dragon. And for some reason, I guess because the golden dragon's, you know, attracted to the curse in the necklace. So because they are like two polar opposites or something, like they cancel each other out, it kills the golden dragon. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But when he kills the golden dragon by throwing the cursed necklace at it, his meltdown of like, no, I destroyed my own dragon is actually kind of amusing to watch.
Well, what they did is it looked like it turned into an egg. And then like the heroes came and swept up the egg and flew off with it.
Well, that was the Sunstone.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because the dragon, it's not shown well after the dragon grows, but the dragon, once the baby dragon picks up the Sunstone, it grows into the big dragon. And then it just holds onto the Sunstone for the rest of the episode. But you don't really get any clear looks at it. Like you might see it shining in its hand, like in a passing shot here or there. But for the most part, you don't really get to see it. So when they finally do destroy the dragon, it, you know, it lets go of the Sunstone. And that's when Simon swoops in, picks it up, and they live happily ever after.
So, like, again, this is essentially a nuclear reactor, and all of them are like Lana and Simon are just like holding it like it's no big deal. And this thing powers the entire Palace of Power, but it's entirely safe to touch, even though the dragon was getting energy directly from just touching it.
I love the idea that this is just a nuclear reactor, because I understand this came out in the 90s, so I would hope they would have understood. They didn't say it was nuclear either, but I would hope they would have understood more about like how a power source that extreme would work on like to someone's bare hands. Because like, what is it? I covered this actually in my Still Bonding show over on Patreon, where in Dr. No, the first Bond movie, there's Bond and the Bond girl Honey Rider on an island, and there's radiation everywhere, like, because the villain is doing nuclear experimentation and some shit, and the way they you know, they scan them, like, oh wait, they have, you know, this much radiation in them, like they measure the exact amount, and like, all right, let's scrub it off of them, and they literally just, in clothes and all, put them in a shower and just starts, quote unquote, scrubbing the radiation off, as like, that's the way you get rid of radiation poisoning.
Yeah.
And they're just, you just see this shot of like Bond going down a conveyor belt, and there's like soap getting dumped on him, and then water, and then him and the girl are like, you know, scrubbing their armpits, you know, making sure they're getting behind their ears, and they come out and like, oh, there's a little radiation left. Oh, she's still wearing shoes. Throw those away too. I'm like, yep. Thank God you got that radiation off her shoes. I'm sure she's fine.
Well, in my head canon, Simon and Lana touched it and were immediately incinerated. End of show.
Honestly, it would have been a fitting end for the cartoon. we did it. We finished the episode. So I want to hear some final thoughts from everyone. I feel like I talked a little bit too much. So if you guys have anything that I just blurred over, by all means, Dex, we'll start with you. And then Jala, since you are a guest, I want to give you the final word on the episode. So Dex, is there anything, final thoughts or like things that you missed that you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we nailed it all. This episode snowballs and like turns into an avalanche by the end. It just speeds across the finish line. Like, it starts out like what's happening, and then it just, like, once you get the premise, this episode flies by. I feel like every time I watch it, I was like, wow, it's over already. Like, it was just, it whips by.
Yeah, I'd say similar. It's, when I first started watching it, like I said, like the first couple of minutes, I was just stopping and face palming and going, oh my God, like trying to get back into the Captain N mode after a long lapse, right? Mm-hmm. And coming back into this episode where there's just so much nonsense going on. I mean, that's the entire series, but this one in particular, as you've mentioned before, Josh, is a little bit weaker in terms of, like, you know, continuity type stuff and things like that. So it showcases exactly what the show is. They're trying to pull in Link and Zelda just to be there for a minute so that you go, oh, Link and Zelda are in the episode. I have to watch this episode or whatever. And, you know, making fun of Simon, which is always a thing, and Kevin having to show off the use of his, you know, power pad and his zapper because, you know, they've got to try to sell them toys, you know, and otherwise being just completely random and not really very true to the source material or referencing it that much. So
it, for me, I'm kind of with both of you on it too, where it's just, I don't know. I actually had more fun this time around than the previous watches, but it's still, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know what else to say. It's Captain N. I've kind of like slowly melted my brain a little bit from watching this show so much. But it, I think you're what, to what you said a little bit ago, Jal, about being in the Captain N like mindset. I feel like that's a very real thing. You kind of have to let yourself go a little bit kooky for watching this show because the source material is non-existent. Well, I shouldn't say non-existent. It's not really adhered to all that much. And when it is, it's in a bizarre way. I don't know. I don't really have much more to say. This episode was fine. It wasn't my favorite one of the season. I still think my favorite episode of season two was last one, Having a Ball. Though I do enjoy next month's episode. So I think we can wrap up this episode here, especially because if we want to get in a second recording session, we should probably do that. Dexter, Jala, thank you so much for joining me. And Dexter, we'll start off with you. And Jala, I want you are our guest, so I'll give you the final shout outs as well. So Dexter, where can everybody find you online?
You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter, if that still exists. You just search my name, Dexter Morrill, Dexter. Last name is Morrill. I'm on there sharing artwork, talking about video games, all that kind of fun stuff. Come find me on there.
All right, Jala?
I can be found everywhere on the internet that I exist, at Jalachan. And that includes jalachan.place, where my podcast is hosted. And you can also catch The Level Podcast at thelevelpodcast.com.
All right. And as usual for me, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, please, please give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use, like Spotify or Google Podcasts or whatnot, because that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. And I like feeling warm and fuzzy. You can also support the show at Patreon, patreon.com/StillLoadingPod. I usually break down all the tiers. I'm getting tired of doing that. Dollar a month gets you early access. $4 a month gets you bonus episodes. $5 a month gets you access to a Patreon exclusive podcast. There you go. That's it in like less than 4 seconds. So here we go. But of course, the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. Dexter, thank you once again for joining me.
Absolutely.
Jala, thank you for being this is your first time on the show. I hope to have you back for a non-Captain N episode after, of course, we're doing another one, but hope to have you back for a non-Captain N episode in the future.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
And we will think of you the next time we play video games.